the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. This week, we're going to cover a topic I'm sure is on the minds of many of our listeners, Stormy Daniels. No, we're not talking about her. But around this time of the year, many of you are thinking about vacation and travel, whether it's off to see the kids or grandkids or a trip overseas or just to escape. We want to cover some basics. We'll talk about tips you should be aware of, as well as other travel tips. Now, for many of you, vacations and travel represent the largest portion of your discretionary budget. Airline tickets can be expensive, and so can the cost of accommodations. The good news is that if you're traveling overseas, the U.S. dollar has been going up against other currencies, so the greenback buys you a lot more depending on where you're headed. So, Jim, let's begin with some simple travel tips.
Well, it's like anything else, Chris. You're taking off for a vacation. Well, you're probably going to want to do a little bit of planning. But especially for somebody that's retired and that has, and maybe going overseas, there's a lot more to think about today, everything from medical issues to security. So the first step is pre-trip planning, which is a good idea, so you cover all the bases. Now, many of you, I would suggest consult a travel agent, or maybe it's a tour operator. One of my most well-traveled clients has a special relationship with a travel agent that really knows the kind of places he likes to stay at, you know, when he likes to fly, how he likes to fly, places he likes, restaurants, tour guides, things of that nature. Something also that's really important today is find out about the medical facilities in the areas you'll be visiting. Imagine going to some outback place like an African safari, and you have, let's say, a heart condition or something, and there's no medical facilities nearby. Also, if you are disabled in any way, make arrangements for walkers, wheelchairs if necessary, and you may need travel insurance with pre-existing conditions, or make sure that your Medigap insurance covers you when you're overseas. If you're concerned about your health, you might want to go on a package tour. Another item that needs to be checked is if the country you are traveling to has a reciprocal health care for seniors. You should probably want to check with Medicare for an update list of countries that participate in reciprocal health care agreements. Remember, health insurance is still necessary.
Well, that's a good point, Jim, and especially really as we all age, pre-trip medical checkups, I would assume, would be very important also. Would that be the case?
You know, checking with your doctor is really important before a trip. It's especially important if you have, Chris, something like coronary heart disease, hypertension, or any other chronic condition, or if you recently undergone surgery or experienced a heart attack, and especially people with diabetes, which will need maybe a medical advice on how safely to stagger their medications to fit different time zones. From the West Coast to, let's say, Europe, there's an 8-hour time difference. If you're heading to Asia, like China, Australia, New Zealand, you could have almost half a day difference, 16 hours. So another issue to look at is if you are traveling to areas, and here's one, especially if you go to those kind of out-of-the-way spots, the unusual, you know, maybe you're going to go hiking, maybe you're going to go mountaineering, African safari, but those areas that are prone to, let's say, infectious diseases, you may want to make sure you're fully vaccinated. And another good idea is to be sure you're up to date with medications and are fully stocked when traveling. You don't want to find out, and sometimes this will happen, you're planning on a, let's say, a 2-week trip, a 10-day trip, and for whatever reason, plane flights, you don't make it, you stay an extra day or two where something comes up and you want to stay an extra couple days. Maybe you meet some new friends, you want to see something special on the trip that wasn't planned for. Make sure that you have more than enough medications. If you're, let's say, taking something for cholesterol, coronary heart disease, hypertension, things of that. And it's strongly, strongly suggested when overseas you wear a medical bracelet or pendant that contains your medical details to inform others of your medical condition in case, let's say, for example, you need urgent care or help.
Jim, what about your baggage? I'm not asking about your personal problems. I mean luggage. Do you have any suggestions about luggage?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just like anything else. Airlines charge you more the more luggage you take on. But, you know, Chris, if you're going to go on an extended trip for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, you might want to check on the hotel facilities if they have laundry facilities. Maybe you don't have to pack as much. They say to pack appropriately, though, for climate and weather. What you don't want to do is end up going someplace you think it's going to be cold, instead it's hot, or they get a warm spell, or the weather temperatures are much, much different. And remember, on weather accuracy, that can change rather rapidly. All you need is some kind of storm that shows up in a storm front, and all of a sudden weather conditions are different, and you don't have the appropriate clothing. So make sure to wear loose clothing and comfortable shoes, as you're probably going to do a lot of walking. The other thing they recommend, and your travel agents will sometimes tell you this, Band-Aids, painkillers, antacids are also advised. And one condition you need to consider, depending on your health, is something called deep thrombosis. And this applies with individuals that have coronary heart disease, may be overweight. When you're on a plane and you're going to be sitting for an extended period of time on a long flight, I think flights to Asia, depending where you're going, can be anywhere from 13 to 18 hours, or they call it the coach ride problem. This can often lead to the development of blood clots in the veins of the legs, especially those long-haul flights. Doctors often prescribe, for example, maybe taking baby aspirin or elasticized stockings to wear on the flight. Now, a lot of these medical issues may seem obvious, but it is amazing at the number of people who don't take these precautions. And this was something that was brought to my attention, Chris. Last year, we had a client who took his daughter and son-in-law to Europe. Son-in-law has a heart attack. Net result was close to $20,000 in medical expenses. Mom and dad were okay. They were covered with their insurance and Medigap. Son-in-law was not. Heart attack, $20,000 of unplanned for expenses.
Well, Jim, there are security issues to deal with. Don't travel at night and don't wear expensive jewelry or watches. Well, unless you want to involuntarily donate to that particular local economy. But if you have a Rolex, leave it at home, buy a Seiko or Timex. And by the way, many of us who rely on our cell phones for checking the time, don't continuously pull out your cell phone if you don't have to. And if you have valuables like traveler's checks or a wallet, it's best to wear them on a belt that's worn in front underneath or underneath a shirt or blouse. And by the way, traveler's checks are safer to carry, but since fewer and fewer businesses accept traveler's checks, be prepared to primarily cash those traveler's checks at banks.
You know, one thing that was suggested to me by one of my clients when he travels, he does a lot of traveling overseas, and you hear these stories about getting your wallet stolen from you or important items. He carries what he calls a dumb wallet with small amounts of cash to hand over in case you are unfortunate to get mugged. And believe it or not, it does happen no matter what place you're going to. And there are just a few of the necessities you should consider when traveling any distance or abroad. And you got to remember, you're going to be in a different climate. You're going to be in a different locale. So, Chris, being prepared, whether it's medically, having your insurance, making sure you have your medication, make sure you take things like aspirin, antacids, simple things like that. And some clients have talked about having a small wallet that is attached to the front of the belt, and you wear your shirt over so it's not completely obvious. Last thing you want to do is be walking around with your wallet in your back pocket. Somebody bumps into you. That once happened to me at a movie theater. We took the kids out, and I remember standing in line, and this one individual kept looking at me, and I thought, well, maybe he recognized me for whatever reason. But when we got inside and stood in front of the concession stand, he bumped into me, which I thought was odd because the place wasn't really crowded. And we didn't discover until after the movie, when we went out to take the kids for ice cream, that my wallet had been stolen. So the last thing you want to do is have your wallet in your back pocket. You want to have it where it's not easy access to and if possible to keep it hidden.
Those are good security tips, Jim. Now that we've got the security out of the way, let's get to the fun part, which is traveling.
You know, Chris, over the years, I've learned a lot from my clients, a concept that is called slow travel. And let me explain what I mean by that. Instead of taking vacations with, let's say, a firm begin and end date, which a lot of people do during their working careers, you only have so many weeks off. So you have a start date, the day you arrive at the airport, the day you get to your place of destination, the day you return. Instead, you know, of having all these itineraries, slow travelers stay longer wherever they go and soak in the details and eccentricities of each destination. Extended days allow for a couple of things. Number one, lower cost accommodations, fewer transportation expenses, which makes the most of your travel dollars. And slow travel is a great, great way to experience a city or town or even a country. Instead of, let's say, a multi-country tour, try just one country and experience it thoroughly. In fact, one of my most traveled clients, one of the things that he said he learned early on was rather than to, you know, some people will go on these tours where, you know, every couple of days you're packing your bags, you're going to another hotel. What he decided to do, studying on travel, reading travel guides, he hired a travel guide for the first time he went overseas because he didn't speak the language. He wanted somebody that knew the areas thoroughly. He went to Italy on his first trip. So he wanted somebody that knew, you know, those restaurants where the locals go that maybe the tourists don't get to see. Somebody that could explain a lot of the Roman ruins to him. The thing that he really liked is he picked one country. They stayed 2 weeks. They went to Rome first and then went all the way down to Pompeii, Herculaneum, and Capri, the Amalfi Coast. And then they spent another week in Tuscany, seeing all the Renaissance cities. And he said, you know, by spending that time and just their base was Florence when they were looking at Tuscany, and their base was Rome when they were looking at southern Italy. He said it made it so much easier, and they really got so much more out of it with an experienced tour guide. They got to go to restaurants that normal people don't get to go on these tours that people go, and they enjoyed it much more. And so what they would do is every time they took a vacation, they would pick a particular country. In fact, he said he was so enthralled with Rome that they planned a vacation to come back and just spend the vacation time in Rome alone, taking in all the historical artifacts, the Vatican, and all that the city had to offer. Picking one country, one city, is something that I think is very, very popular, and it's a great way to travel. You'll find sometimes you can save a lot more money. You're not packing your bags as often. One of those things that they do, you get on these tour guides, Chris, where, you know, they're going to pick 10 or 12 countries, and you're going to do that over a 2-week period of time. How much are you really going to get out of that trip when every couple of days you're packing your bags?
Well, that's a really good point, Jim. I'm glad that you bring up this concept of slow travel. I've been one of those folks that have done that vacation blitz, and you get home, or actually before you get home, you can't wait to get home to take a rest from your vacation. So that's quite valuable. Also, I know that traveling by RV has also become a very popular way to travel. And I know many of our clients own RVs.
Well, you know, we do have a lot of clients who simply live in their RVs parts of the year. Especially a lot of our clients that live in locations, either they're in the Midwest, back east, where you have cold winters, or, you know, they live in places like Arizona and Nevada, where it can get very, very hot during the summer. We have quite a few clients that live in Sun City, Arizona and Scottsdale. Chris, you know, for the summer months, when the temperatures get over 110, last year, I think it got up to 119, they're off in their RVs for 3 or 4 months. And all of them Just absolutely love it. It's a great way to see the country. You know, a lot of times they're gone several months at a time, and it turns out to be much cheaper than flying or, let's say, renting hotels. Another concept that has been popular is timeshares. I have a couple of clients that have owned two or three timeshares, and I guess the way this works is you can often trade those timeshares with other individuals. Let's say you have a timeshare in, I don't know, Carmel or someplace nice, and you trade that timeshare for somebody that has, let's say, a timeshare in France or Italy. And so trading timeshares is another popular item. And the other thing that is becoming increasingly popular, you see this on television all the time, is the world of cruising. And one of the things I've noticed, especially as my clients have aged in their 60s, you know, they're going to places, they're walking, they're hiking, they're touring, but when they start getting into their 70s, a lot of them love going on cruises, and they like the idea of not having to pack or unpack all the time, and the option of just staying on board and enjoying all the amenities of a cruise ship. Sometimes you pull into port and you say, you know, I've been there before, I've seen that, maybe I'm not feeling as well today, I'm just going to stay on board this ship and avoid all the food, the amenities. My goodness, they have everything from swimming to gyms, movie theaters, you name it, for entertainment. And the other thing that a lot of my clients are telling me is you can get some incredible bargains that could be found on cruise packages depending on when you intend to travel. One of my clients who just sold his business is doing something kind of special. I've heard people that have done this that just love it. He's actually doing a round-the-world flight as a way to kick off their retirement. They will be gone for almost a full month. They'll be traveling on a 747. Basically, they're saying, look, you know, we worked hard in the business, and we didn't have very many vacations. When we did take them, they were kind of short. So they intend on making up for lost time with a world travel tour. And without any time restraints that they had, let's say, when they were running their business. I even had one client who plans on spending the summers abroad, mainly in Europe, as a launching base to travel throughout the Mediterranean, the Middle East, the Baltic states, even wants to go to and visit St. Petersburg and see the Hermitage and seeing other events. So there's so many things that I have found that outside some of the basics that we talked about, Chris, everybody has their own things that they want to do, you know, whether it's RV, cruising on a boat like I do, or worldwide tour, vacation rentals, cruise ships, you name it, it's available and depending on your budget.
And Jim, you mentioned cruising. For those of our listeners who do own an RV and yet may be particularly cost conscious, they may want to look into waterproofing their RV and initiating their own family cruise. I've heard it's much cheaper. The only downside being that the cruise tends to be very, very short. Well, Jim, those are really creative ideas on how people can get the most from their vacation. Any particular advice you've learned about travel or maybe that you've experienced while listening to clients and hearing their tales about travel?
You know, the one thing they all tell me is try and do as much traveling when you are young and healthy and are able to get around without any physical difficulties. I was recently talking to one of my clients. He's a physician, and he sort of semi-retired when he was age 65 and worked part-time. But when he turned 70, that was when he went into full retirement. But now he's approaching 80, and the one thing that he told me about, he says the jet lag takes longer to recover from, and the walking can often get very exhausting. And he has recently joined a group who now plan on taking cruises. As he said, you know, it's less tiresome when you don't have to pack your bags. And sometimes if you're feeling a little tired, well, you just relax on the ship. You don't have to go into every port the ship pulls into. The other important tip is making sure you have covered your medical, from insurance to making sure you're stocked up with medications. I can't tell you the number of times clients have told me how important that is. As I mentioned earlier, the client that went on took his daughter and son-in-law last year to Europe, and, you know, his son-in-law has a heart attack. But my most seasoned travelers tend to be what I call slow travelers. They like taking an extended stay with no set beginning and end date, whether it's just seeing one country, one city, or one particular region. This summer, we have several clients who are actually getting in cars and driving across the United States. So outside of, let's say, taking care of medical issues, starting out at the beginning of your retirement, I found a wide variety of travel interests from those who do nothing but, let's say, guided tours. We have a lot of clients that are RV enthusiasts. Cruise ships has become a very important factor. Also, clients that are doing that, what I call the slow travel, seeing one country at a time. You know, they're healthy. I have one client that just retired, and this will be their third summer that they're going to Europe. And each year they've tried to pick one or two countries where they spend 2 or 3 weeks at a time and really getting to know the region. Now, it's interesting because one of my clients recently gave me a copy of Travel and Leisure with a cover story that mentions 11 trips you need to take as soon as you retire. Some of these are going to surprise you. One of them is a Rocky Mountain train tour. Some of the countries they say that you just must see: Ireland, Israel, Sicily, Costa Rica, Australia, China, to Scottsdale, Arizona. I don't know about seeing Scottsdale around this time of the year with temperatures over 110. Maybe in the fall might not be a bad idea. But and some of them are, as we talked about earlier, they're doing it by either car or in their RVs. So, you know, it really depends on what your interests are, what your health is, and quite honestly, what your budget is. So, you know, take your health into consideration. The earlier, younger you begin to travel, you know, you're probably going to be able to go longer distances and travel to far off regions. Obviously, medical conditions come into play as well as a budget.
Well, and Jim, as I've mentioned, I really like that concept of slow traveling. It just seems like that really creates for a better vacation experience. But if we were to sum it up, there are a few essentials to traveling. I'll just go over those briefly. Number one, get a prostate exam. I mean, get a physical and make sure you're fit to travel. Number two, know the medical facilities and reciprocal arrangements of any country where you're traveling. Number three, make sure you're well-stocked on meds that you take before you leave for a trip. Number four, know the weather and pack appropriately. Number five, do not wear valuable jewelry or watches when traveling. Number six, consider a front belt mini pack for wallet or valuables underneath a shirt or blouse. Number seven, plan your trips in advance for better savings and to take advantage of package deals. And then my favorite, number eight, consider the concept of slow travel for not only saving money, but being more relaxed when traveling. Well, Jim, it's time for our real-life case study, and this is a hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances, of course, have been changed to protect privacy. And for our listeners, we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made here.
This week's case is the case of Dan Johnson. He was an accountant. He's currently age 67. He's worked very hard most of his life, and he saved well, put a lot of money aside. He wants to retire soon, but as we're just talking about here, Chris, he would like to live abroad. He wants to get over into the Europe area, see much of Western Europe and different places, whether it's going to the Middle East or the Baltic states, to Russia. And he wants to, basically, he came to us and determining when he should retire. And is it feasible to retire abroad? In other words, could he afford it? Now, a couple things that were important as we looked at Dan. Number one, being able to live a comfortable lifestyle, which I would say is probably the number one goal for most people getting ready to retire. Managing taxes, as being an accountant, he was fairly good at. He used a lot of pension plans to shelter his income. He didn't want to get into a position of outliving his assets. And especially with his desire to live abroad, the good news for Dan is the dollar has gone up over the last 6 to 8 months, so it's going to be much cheaper, and that trend should continue well into next year. Now, on the risk scale, being an accountant, Dan's risk score on a scale of 100 was 45. I would consider that to be moderate. His portfolio risk score was very, very close. I don't run into this, Chris, very often. There is a wide disparity between what a person considers as risky, and then you look at their portfolio, which just the two don't jive. In Dan's case, they were pretty close. His portfolio risk score was 51, which was pretty close to his current risk score. His income, $102,000, expenses, $65,000. So he was salting away a lot of money, surplus of about $37,000. Discretionary expenses represented about 31% of his budget. So he was living within his means and could adjust upward or adjust down in either direction, probably adjusting upward as we look at a possibility of Dan actually spending summers abroad. Taking a look at his assets, his home was worth about $720,000, just a small mortgage left on it. It was actually less than $60,000. His portfolio was about $1.3 million, so he's in pretty good shape. No debt, home almost free and clear. Now, asset allocation, he was about 55% in bonds, which is about where you should be, given his age and being close to retirement. He had about 31% in stocks, 10% in cash, and he had less than 5% in precious metals. As Dan said, it used to be more than 5%, but obviously that was when gold was worth a lot more. But these are gold eagles. He says he keeps them in the safe and doesn't worry about it. If we take a look at some of the challenges, kind of made this case a little bit interesting for us, was living abroad and the implications for that retirement, protecting his estate, obviously with living abroad, not running out of money, and then managing both foreign taxes and estate planning issues. What we basically did is built a diversified portfolio. We got him out of bond funds and put him into individual bonds, and especially sovereign bonds, which would be safer, predictable, help him more on state taxes. And the other thing is what we were looking for is predictable income. So that would bring his total income to roughly about $70,000 a year, $30,000 coming from Social Security, about $38,000 coming from the portfolio. So even in retirement, Dan was going to have $7,000 of surplus, which was really important because one of his biggest worries is, can I make it overseas and would I have enough money to actually live out my retirement without running or going broke? So basic recommendations for Dan: reduce expenses to $2,000 a month while in the U.S., spend $3,000 a month in Spain, and we've hooked him up with a real estate company that knows that area. He's looking for a place. He would like to have two places, sell the big house he has now. He doesn't need it. Take that equity and actually have two places that he lives. His base would be in Barcelona, and then he would have another place here, but a much smaller one. For managing taxes, we referred him to our law firm that helps clients with taxes and estate planning, especially establishing a living trust and pour-over wills, which are necessary. Also, medical powers, powers of attorney. And then in terms of living abroad in Spain, we were going to have to sell the house, which he was aware of. And the good thing about it is the house was almost free and clear, very little money left on the house. And we would use the remaining proceeds to purchase a small flat in Spain. So this was something really kind of made his day because he was always thinking about it, dreaming about it. And, you know, as we put this together and put him in touch with the real estate agent, it was just something that really made his day because this is his dream come true, being able to have a place there and a place here and be able to go back and forth and really spend time. Imagine, Chris, instead of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you're actually living there and visiting different places.
And it's always nice when I hear these case studies, Jim, when someone, a family, has taken care to make sure that they don't have a debt problem. It really does help to make those dreams like the one you just mentioned more of a reality. Well, our guest on tomorrow's edition of Lifetime Income will be Lawrence Kotlikoff. He is a professor of economics at Boston University, and his recent book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security Benefits, that book is a New York Times bestseller.
Well, that concludes this week's Lifetime Income. On behalf of myself and Chris Prytower, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.